Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is it that makes us whole? If a person is paralyzed, unable to walk, unable to do things with their hands, is that person less than whole? Is that person less of a person? If you were to talk to someone who is without sight, you might be talking to someone who believes that they are not deficient, that in fact they are whole. They live a full and fulfilled life. And in fact, those who are without hearing, they are able to understand and see things that those of us who take hearing for granted miss, in that most of communication is nonverbal. In fact, we do recognize that these, what we might think of as deficiencies, do not in fact determine who a person is. And yet, we do recognize that things start failing, don't we? The eyesight gets dimmer with age. The voices that we hear don't always anymore sound like voices, but rather low tones, and we're not necessarily able to hear what is being spoken. And then, of course, the body begins to break down, and we're not able to do all those things that we were freely and easily able to do. You may come to the point where your mind starts to go, and then it's happening to me right now. Your words can't get out right. Or it may be that your mind is still sharp, but your words cannot keep up. The fact is, we know, don't we? Things are not as they should be. We are not whole. The world is not as it should be. Certainly not as God created it to be. In fact, when God created everything, he created everything in perfection. He created everything as it should be. But it is because of sin. It is because of our falling into sin that things are just not right. We are, in fact, not whole. We are not as we should be. Now, you may live a life in which you say, in which you think, well, I'm perfectly happy. In fact, I do live a full life, a fulfilled life. Even so, things don't always go as they should be. You do suffer from illness. In fact, you may suffer from physical wounds or physical infirmities. You may be suffering from emotional wounds. In fact, if you're relatively healthy and things are going pretty well, tragedy could strike at any moment. You do not know what could happen any moment. Things are not as they should be, and we know that. And that's what prompted the people in the gospel reading today to bring to Jesus this man who was unable to hear. He wasn't able to speak clearly. And of course, these two things dramatically affected his life. Lord, if you can just touch him. People knew who Jesus was. They knew he was a miracle worker. They knew he was able to bring about healing. And so they implored Jesus to bring that to this man. But here's what we find in the gospel according to Mark, and it's brought out in today's gospel reading, that in fact, this is not ultimately why Jesus came. It is not truly what Jesus came to do. He did not really become a human being, for he is true God of true God and became a man. He did not come just to release us from our physical infirmities. And so in the gospel reading for today, we see this drawn out in several ways. The first way we see it is that Mark alludes to those passages in the Old Testament which give us a picture of the coming Messiah, the Savior who was to come. And that is particularly brought out in today's Old Testament reading, particularly the verses which talk about giving hearing to those without hearing and sight to those without sight. But it's also brought out by Mark when he says that Jesus directed all those people there not to say anything, not to report this miraculous work that he had done. Now, why would Jesus do such a thing? He's a miracle worker. He brought about a great and awesome thing for this man. Why would he not want people to know of it? Well, this is because, as we have already spoken of why Jesus has truly come. He did not come primarily to bring about healing. It is true that all the many, many miracles he did were awesome, and they were an abundant blessing for all those people who were healed. But think of their condition. Though they were healed of their particular infirmity, they still were bound up in their sinful nature, weren't they? They still were living in this fallen and sinful world. And they still, at some point, were going to die. And so, Jesus did not release them completely from all their physically what was wrong with them. No, Jesus knew that if people were thinking of him as simply a miracle worker, as one who could bring about such awesome deeds as he did on many, many occasions, they would not truly know who Jesus was. They would not truly understand why he came. In fact, we cannot know who Jesus is, why he came, except through the reason that he ultimately came. And that was to go to the cross. That was to suffer on the cross, not simply for our physical and temporal infirmities, but for the sickness that resides in here, in our heart, in our mind, in fact, our entire being. We are sinful from birth, and that is what we need to be released from. That is the true healing that we need, and that is why Jesus came. He brought about that healing in his suffering on the cross, in his death on the cross. And it is only by conquering the grave, rising bodily from the grave, that we can see who Jesus is, why he truly came. And so all of those people who ignored the directive of Jesus, they kept telling everybody, they weren't telling everybody truly who he was. But we know, because we have seen who Jesus is in his suffering and his death and resurrection. And a third way that Mark brings this out of how we know why Jesus truly came is the words of the people who ignored Jesus and spoke. They were amazed, and they said, he has done all things well. And then they actually echoed the words of another Old Testament passage, Isaiah 35, he makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. What Jesus is doing is primarily showing that he is the one who has come about, who has come in order to make things whole. This is what Jesus is doing. He is restoring things to the way they originally were, the way God created them to be, perfection. This is what God wants for you and me. We who are suffering, not simply from physical and temporal infirmities, although we do pray for those things, don't we? And we ask our Heavenly Father to help us in our time of need. And then we leave it to him to answer in his own way and in his own time. We should lift up our prayers to him for the things that we need in this life, including all the infirmities that we deal with. Ultimately, what we are seeking, though, because we know we will never be completely freed of those things in this lifetime, we need the true restoration that Christ has come to bring. And how has he done so? In a similar way to when Jesus used saliva to restore that man's hearing and giving him clear speech, so in a baptismal flood, your Lord has brought about for you full and eternal life, salvation from all your sins, all the condemnation that you are under. And just as they brought this man to Jesus and he did in fact touch him, so in a similar way, preachers across the ages and in your own lifetime, flesh and blood people have proclaimed the very word of God, which has opened your ears so that you may hear of this gospel of the forgiveness of sins, of life and salvation. And in a similar way that Jesus looked up to heaven and sighed and said, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened," so you hear the very words of your Lord as he spoke them on the night when he was betrayed. And when he took bread and had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my body given for you." And when he took the cup and blessed it, he said, "This is my blood shed for you." You see, what you and I need, we do need healing, and we pray for it. But that's not truly, ultimately, what we need. What you and I need is to be made whole. We need to be restored. And that is what happens in baptism. It is what happens when you hear the word of God proclaimed to you in all its purity and sweetness. It is what happens when you actually take upon your own lips and your own tongue the very medicine of immortality, the very body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And in these ways, you are made whole. So even though you continue to sin, even though you continue to struggle against your sinful nature, you actually are able to live in a way where you are loving others. You are living in sacrificial, selfless love toward others, placing your own needs in the background to be able to help and serve others in their needs. And so, in faith toward God and in fervent love toward one another, you live and are made whole. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.